Good morning. Thank you, Libby. Forgiveness has proven to be a deeply meaningful and challenging theme this month. As you might imagine, it's always nice to hear some of the ways people have heard that message and taken it to heart. After last week, someone in this congregation came to me and said that when they were thinking about a difficult relationship that he wanted to heal, he approached his son-in-law, who has very evangelical Christian views, and although not estranged, the relationship could be described as a bit frosty. He sat down and he wrote him a long email just to, let's say, open the door to further conversation. A couple of hours later, an email was returned with an expression of gratitude and a wish from the son-in-law that he would have written something like this first. And how glad he was that his father-in-law was open to exploring his views and what they meant in his life. This was not easy for either one of them, but it was the first step to chip away at the ice, and my guess is that ice will soon start to melt. It's not always easy to unfreeze our relationships. Sometimes bad behavior feels like it needs punishing. For instance, a woman bought a parrot for a pet. All the parrot did was treat her bad. One day she got fed up with the parrot, and as it was insulting her, she picked it up and it continued with the insults. "You're ugly. I can't stand you." And it pecked at her arm as she carried it. She opened the freezer door and threw him in and closed the door. From inside, the parrot was still going on for about 5 seconds, and then it suddenly got quiet. She thought, "Oh no, I killed it." So she opened the door and the parrot just stared at her. She picked it up. Then the parrot said, "I'm very sorry. I apologize for my bad behavior and promise you there will be no more of that from me. From now on, I will be a respectful and obedient parrot." "Well, okay," she accepted. "Apology is fine." The parrot then said, "Thank you." Then he said, "Can I ask you something?" And she said, "Sure, what?" And the parrot looked at the freezer and asked, "What did the chicken do?" Sometimes we feel like the pet owner, sometimes the parrot, and yes, upon occasion, we feel like the chicken. We have all been involved in relationships with people we care about where we have been harmed or caused pain. It's almost unavoidable, especially in close human relationships. So one of the big questions that comes to mind is exactly what is forgiveness? We've been talking about this for a couple of weeks, and the thought occurred to me, maybe if we explored the meaning, it might be a little easier to understand how to live it. As you may imagine, there are a million quotes on forgiveness. Matthew 21 from the New Testament says, and this is, I got into a little discussion about this yesterday, this is from the NRSV version, not the King James version. "Then Peter came and said to him, 'Lord, if another member of the church sins against me, how often should I forgive? As many as 7 times? And Jesus said to him, 'Not 7 times, but I tell you, 77 times. Thich Nhat Hanh says, "Our capacity to make peace with another person and with the world depends very much on our capacity to make peace with ourselves.'" Ralph Waldo Emerson said, our Unitarian Universalist saint, said, "Finish each day and be done with it. You have done what you could. Some blunders and absurdities have crept in. Forget them as soon as you can." I almost said that like a Jewish mother. "Forget them as soon as you can. Tomorrow is a new day, and you shall begin it serenely and with too high a spirit to be encumbered by your old nonsense." But one of my favorites is from Maya Angelou. "We cannot change the past, but we can change our attitude towards it. Uproot guilt and plant forgiveness. Tear out arrogance and seed humility. Exchange love for hate, thereby making the present comfortable and the future promising." Or as author Gerald Jambolsky says, forgiveness, this is a good one, I like this one. "Forgiveness is letting go of all hopes for a better past." I think these final two statements have a lot in common, and I know they are meaningful to me as I think about how to deal with the people in my life who know where my buttons are and either unintentionally or intentionally push them, or vice versa. My family of origin was not the easiest place for me to be. I was the rebellious son, the one who needed the extra conferences with the teacher, and the one that went for the experiences that explored the boundaries of parental control. And after many years, I've discovered that during my childhood, much to my surprise, my parents were human. They had their own stuff. I didn't know about their stuff until much later in life, and which was certainly for them unavoidable and totally affected their parenting skills and our family dynamic. Raise your hand out there if you had perfect parents. I didn't think so. Let's face it, at some time we wish for no conflicts, no disagreements, no disappointments with our family of origin or our chosen family members. But once again, we are human beings, and part of our journeys to wholeness include the dance of intimacy and forgiveness with those that we love or who we are supposed to. For many years, I was not happy with this part of my journey, and I struggled with these relationships. There are still a time or two when those buttons get pushed. Thanksgiving would be one of them. But the main difference between angry David and the more forgiving David is that I finally understood that I could not change my past, and that my relationships might evolve in a more healthy way if I looked to the present and to the future. I also realized that I had to see things for the way they were, versus perhaps what I thought I had hoped they might be and never were. And believe me, this is an ongoing practice and will be until the day we all pass from this earth. Martin Luther King said, "Forgiveness is not an occasional act. It is a permanent attitude." We've complicated relationships with the ones we love, whether they are family of origin or the family of choice. We carry these people with us every day, from the small ways that we move through the world to the big actions or choices that we make in the direction of our lives. The more energy we hold in anger, the less we have in love and in creativity. So I'm going to make an assumption right now. The assumption is that evolving ever more into our wholeness involves living as openly and as loving as possible. It involves being as full of gratitude and being as full of forgiveness as possible. It comes with being more aware of self, of our own wants and needs, and being more aware of the wants and needs of others. Some would call this advanced levels of consciousness. Whatever it's called, I think there's some basic reflection questions to ask when thinking about forgiveness that can help raise our consciousness. And although there are many good books on how to forgive, I will add a few thoughts of mine to this body of work. Who does our anger hurt? If we hold on to our anger, if the consistent motivating force in our relationships is anger, who does our anger hurt? Well, in the last couple of weeks, we've heard how letting go of anger and forgiving can have a very positive effect on life and health. So staying angry seems to only really hurt ourselves. If we are the ones holding on to the negative, does this actually change or transform anyone or anything in a positive way? If part of our quest as people of faith, as people standing on the side of love, or as those on our own journey towards wholeness, is working for transformation in the world, then we must endeavor to work for positive transformation in ourselves and in the work that we do. Is there a path to forgiveness that at least helps us to heal, even when setting appropriate boundaries because of physical or emotional safety? There's no question that safety is a primary concern in relationships. But with the help and support of family, friends, loving community, and or good counseling, we can live forgiveness while caring for the needs of our own safety. When should we do the work of forgiveness? When the object of this forgiveness is still with us, or after they have passed from this world? Sometimes we have this choice. And sometimes we don't. But once again, whether the relationship can be reconciled through forgiveness in life, or forgiveness given posthumously, we have the power of choice and time and place, and those are in our control. What place does intent to harm have in the willingness to forgive? If harm was unintentional, does this change the need or level of desire for forgiveness? Not all acts of harm are intentional, but they cause no less harm. Intent is about motivation to cause harm. It calls for us to see the fear or pain of the other. And it calls us deeper into the need for love to be present in the possibility of forgiveness or reconciliation. And where is our personal growth in forgiving others? Is this an area that needs growth in our hearts? And can the act itself help us to be more loving and giving people? Each time I have forgiven, I have grown. Each time I have forgiven, I have grown. Growth comes at the edges of our comfort and in new expressions of ourself. Forgiveness can be a meaningful path to personal and spiritual growth. And finally, a statement. Forgiveness doesn't change the facts, only the results. What is done certainly can't be undone. Forgiveness can help all parties move on. Psychologist Robert Caron, author of The Forgiving Self, The Road from Resentment to Connection, says, getting to a forgiving place, finding the forgiving self inside, is a long and complicated journey. We have to be ready to forgive. We have to want to forgive. The deeper the wound, the more difficult the process. And this is certainly a more difficult process when involving those that we let close to our hearts. Whether parent or partner, sibling or friend, when our hearts are more vulnerable, our pain can be so much deeper. And let us not forget that when we are not always on the forgiving side, we can be frequently the one in need of forgiveness. How meaningful has it been to any of us sitting here today, knowing that we have caused harm or pain, that instead of anger, grief, or silence, we have been embraced with love, openness, vulnerability, and forgiveness. What an amazing experience it is to be on that side of the equation. In my ministry, I have already been witness to far too many passings from this life to whatever comes next. I have seen death take its toll on mothers and fathers, partners, wives, husbands, and friends. I have seen people leave behind anger and torment, but I have also seen beautiful moments of needed and unconditional forgiveness. There is very little like it. The release of sometimes a life full of anguish in a momentary gesture of love. Our lives are too short. Too short indeed to hold on to so much negativity and anger. Frederick Buechner said of the seven deadly sins, anger is possibly the most fun. To lick your wounds, to smack your lips over grievances long past, to roll over your tongue the prospect of bitter confrontations still to come, to savor to the last toothsome morsel both the pain you are given and the pain you are giving back. In many ways, it's a feast fit for a king, he said. The chief drawback is that what you are wolfing down is yourself. The skeleton at the feast is you. And returning to the words I used last week, because I just can't let them go. And I've referred to these words a couple of times this week, and I can't let them go. Bishop Desmond Tutu said that both forgiving and being reconciled to our enemies or our loved ones are not about pretending that things are other than they are. It's not about patting one another on the back and turning a blind eye to the wrong. True reconciliation exposes the awfulness, the abuse, the hurt, the truth. It could even sometimes make things worse. It is a risky undertaking, but in the end it is worthwhile because in the end only an honest confrontation with reality can bring real healing. Superficial reconciliation can bring only superficial healing. Preaching about forgiveness this month has been a journey for me as well. And I am grateful and graced by the opportunity. Perhaps this practice is most needed with those we are closest to. Whether giving or receiving forgiveness, lives can be transformed. We all have things to learn. We all have transformations to make. We all have healing to offer. We all have love to provide. And we all have forgiveness inside of us.